Kwe Kwe, you are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU FM. Dawnland Signals was the monthly talk show that aired from April 2020 till April 2023, where we held space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change here in the Dawnland. We explored topics such as restorative justice, restorative practices, decolonization, cultural revival, and more, with guests involved in aspects of truth, healing, and change work. Today, we're here for a special program offered in an effort to share, inspire, and inform you about Wabanaki Reach's oral history truth-telling project, Beyond the Claims, Stories from the Land and the Heart. Dawnland Signals is a collaboration of Wabanaki Reach and WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Maria Gerard.
Kwe, and I am your co-host, Esther Ann. We're so excited to be back on the WERU airwaves for a special conversation in celebration of Beyond the Claims. Today, we're talking specifically about the opening of the art exhibit called Wihikwino, which features stories and photos from Wabanaki and opens on the summer solstice at the Zibaya Museum on June 20th at 2 p.m. Our guest today, our project coordinator, Kate Russell, along with artists and photographers Nolan Altivator and Maya Antian. But before we hear from our guests, Maria will ground us with a land appreciation.
Really one, Esther. Let's just take a moment to acknowledge the land beneath our feet. Wabanakig, the land of the first light, the dawn land. Land that has known Wabanaki ancestors, the tallest trees and the oldest rivers. Land that has known peace and conflict. Land that has nourished us and sustained us since time immemorial. We acknowledge the indigenous peoples of this land, Wabanakig, the Passamaquoddy, Penobscot, Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Abenaki, and we give thanks to your stewardship and resilience. Ngadal Ngubamnaawuk, we are broadcasting from WERU Studio in Blue Hill, Alamoosuc, Wabanakig.
Only one, Maria. So I'm so excited to get into this conversation. I want to just start by having our three guests here introduce themselves and share a little bit with us. Why don't we start with Beyond the Claims project coordinator, Kate Russell?
Thank you, Esther Ann. Thank you, Maria, for having me and Nolan and Maya today to have this conversation. Like you said, I am the project coordinator for Beyond the Claims, and I've been working on this project for Wabanaki Reach for the past 3 years, I think, coming up on 3 years. So I'm really grateful to be here and excited to talk about this particular part of the project.
Thank you, Kate. And we also have Wabanaki artists and photographers that are working on the project. We have Maya Atian and Nolan Altivator. Who wants to go first? Maya, do you want to go first and introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me here. My name is Maya Ditya Zatian. I am a Wabanaki photographer and artist. My work is mainly photography based with some installation on the side. I currently live in Portland, Maine, and I'm a graduate of Maine College of Art and Design. And yeah, that's it. And Nolan?
Yeah, Ruben, Maya, and thank you everyone else for organizing this and getting us ready for this really great talk. But Nolly was Nolan Altspader, Nujay Zabayog, Naga Nuknil. My name's Nolan Altspader. I'm Passamaquoddy from Zabayog, however, currently finding myself in what is in that Old Town Maine and Penobscot territory. I currently work for the Passamaquoddy Tribal Historic Preservation Office at Madawknagut, and it's a shared position with Maine Coast Heritage Trust. and also a PhD student at the University of Maine for interdisciplinary studies with a concentration in Native American studies. And yeah, just really looking forward to reflecting on the process with everyone here. We haven't had a conversation all together really about it. So yeah, just really excited to share these stories with each other.
I'm wondering, just to orient us in the project a little bit more, if Kate, if you wanted to talk about the beginnings of Beyond the Claims. And so this present project, the oral history art exhibit, is one aspect of this project. Did you want to orient us in this multi-year project?
I'd love to orient us. Thank you for asking. So Beyond the Claims, Stories from the Land and the Heart is Wabanaki Reach's newest truth-telling initiative. And we like to say that, you know, it's going beyond the claims to get at the heart of the land, its people and their stories. And so the center of this project has been the long and complicated history of the Maine Indian land claims. Specifically a piece of legislation called the Maine Indian Claims Settlement Act of 1980. And that piece of legislation still deeply impacts folks from Wabanaki and Maine communities today. And, you know, inspired by you, Maria, I think from the very beginning of me being brought onto this project, I remember you saying that the hope was to use storytelling to illuminate our shared humanity. And so what we've been doing, you know, for the past 3 years is we've been gathering personal oral histories, interviews across a full spectrum of experiences. So folks from Wabanaki communities, Maine communities, different ages, different backgrounds, different connections to the land claims. And we're hoping that their stories will help to demystify the legislation, humanize the people who have been affected by it, amplify their voices, and preserve their stories for cultural continuity. Throughout the life of the project, our core intention at Wabanaki Reach has been to create space for truth and healing to happen. And so at this point, we are very close to wrapping up our archive of interviews and finding a permanent home for them and a digital space so that it's super accessible for folks to listen to these stories. And then we also knew that not everyone is going to log into a computer and listen to a 3-hour interview. And so we've always been kind of active about creating other artistic educational resources to connect with people through these stories. And our first resource was an original play called Where the River Widens, which was a community devised piece that was performed on Indian Island last fall. And our next resource is what we're talking about today. So we're talking about Wikiginal, which is an oral history exhibit that will open at the Zibayik Museum on June 20th and run through October around the anniversary of the land claims MCSA being signed. And yeah, I'm super excited about this conversation because the oral history exhibit is a celebration of stories, and stories are not always through oral histories. They're not always spoken. Sometimes they're written, sometimes they're pictures, sometimes a story is revealed through a photograph. And so this exhibit is using the text of some of the stories we've gathered, audio clips of the stories we've gathered, alongside photography by Maya and Nolan. And they're just absolutely stunning. And I am just very moved to see this exhibit really finally start to come together. It's really profound. So that's where we're at now.
Wonderful. I love that photography is storytelling. And so I'm interested to know, Nolan and Maya, when you first became involved with this project and and how you went about finding what it was that you were photographing for the project.
Yeah, I guess I'll start first if that's okay. So I became involved with the project at the stages of the oral history interviews that we were doing in the communities. And I had the fortune of being able to interview a few people for that project, and including my own parents, which was awesome. but yeah, and then since then, I've been photographing, and the way I sort of went out to photograph for this project is I really wanted to photograph the land in a way that contextualized the stories, but also made a new way of seeing the land that we look at every day, that we're very familiar with. Because I think it's important that we look at it through how it connects us back to our ancestors through the land. Yeah. Nolan?
Yeah, similarly, kind of getting involved in this project, I've just, like, throughout my years as a photographer, been there for a lot of community events. So just establishing sort of that role and that relationship with people of being someone who sort of documents a lot of, like, community socials or, like, community events from each Wabanaki communities. And with that, the photos in which people will be able to look at from myself are a mix of photos that I went out to take, but also photos that were from an archive of mine over time from community events or just like landscape photos. And with that sort of approach to photography of being, for lack of a better term, a much more documentary style based photographer, like not only including like people in the communities and like social events, but also like viewing the land as a relative and how to go about that in a very respectful way. I think if you look at like landscape photography in Maine, you know, you're just going to see a bunch of lighthouses on, you know, it's something that you like look up on the internet or something. And so sort of like wanting to use photography as a tool to challenge very colonial understandings of the landscape. And sometimes that comes out as a very, you know, beautiful story, but a lot of times it's also, you know, it notes like hopefully we'll let people sit and reflect on like what is being told there through images, or what is it challenging in terms of understandings of the landscape. And I think that really, you know, drags into this exhibit of being stories from the land and from the heart, sort of recognizing again that connection between Wabanaki people and our homelands and using photography to convey those relationships with each other.
That's beautiful, Nolan and Maya. I am sitting here listening and remembering one of the times that Wabanaki Reach did our visioning. Remember, Maria? Visioning and to create our vision statement, mission statement. And at one point, we said we sound like an environmental organization because we were talking about how it's all about the land. It's all about the land, and it's really been a guiding principle for Wabanaki Reach. And I like listening to you to talk about, you know, how the land always remembers, right? Talk about longevity, you know, look at some of the trees that we have and what they've seen and how long they've been here. And I really appreciate the Beyond the Claims project as a whole, the where the river widens, and then this project here as well as the third part of the Beyond the Claims that's to come. And I was wondering, the exhibit is called Wikigano, and I know what that means, but I'm wondering if Kate, maybe you want to talk about how it came to be that in the collaboration with Zibayik. Museum?
Sure. I'll say a little bit and then I'll probably pass it off to Nolan and Maya. I also just want to say what's really unique about this oral history exhibit is that, you know, Maya and Nolan have both come to their participation in it as artists and photographers. They weren't just hired, you know, at this moment in time to, you know, take photos for this project. They have both been integral in so much of the project by being a part of really crucial conversations, witnessing the project unfold over time, watching the creative process happen. Like Maya mentioned, before she had any idea that she would be taking photos, you know, a few years ago, she started out as, you know, a story collector and interviewing folks. So I just think it's this collaboration and relationship has been ongoing, and like so much of Wabanaki Reach's work has just unfolded so beautifully and organically. So what they both bring to this collaboration is so rich and layered and just really powerful. So I remember having a conversation, I think, with Nolan at least a year ago. Nolan, you can probably correct me or clarify. And just having these really inspiring conversations about, just like we're having now, about, you know, calling the project Beyond the Claims, Stories from the Land and the Heart, and what does that mean? And thinking of, you know, our hearts as a way to tell the stories of the land, and just how linked we are for all time to the land. And Waukegan is a word that I learned from Nolan as we were having conversations about the project. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand it to be a Maliseet Passamaquoddy word that originally means birch bark maps, and has come to evolve to mean both image and book, and like Nolan has said recently, anything written, not to be confused with petroglyphs. And so I'd love to pass that off to Nolan, because that has been just a really rich conversation, and I have learned so much from Nolan and talking about it. So Nolan, do you want to talk about how that word inspired you and why we kind of stayed with it and how it's been a kind of foundation for us to create this exhibit, a touchstone for us?
Yeah, that's great. That's such a great framing too, because it's one of those things that's like, you know, aesthetic. So it's kind of really hard to explain, but it's kind of like the beauty of it is like it sparks these really meaningful conversations. And I guess to put it into the perspective of like where I think I've been coming from with using this word Waukegan or Waukeganal. Waukegan is the singular form and Waukeganal is the plural form of how we opened up with this conversation about like a shared humanism or a shared humanity, and sort of recognizing that in order to build a relationship with the land or to tell stories from the land, like we inevitably have to use sort of like our own tools as a human species. And I think that's true for every culture, but with that, it's very culturally contextualized. So if you look at, for an example, the Land Claims Settlement Act, you can see that they're using stories, or they're using Waukegan, or these land claims, or the act that had passed, to create these understandings of what land is. But that is through a very colonial Western legal framework. And with that, it also speaks to the inevitability of Wabanaki people tied to land. But again, it's through this very colonial lens that depicts us how the colonial force wants to view us as taking away our own self-determination through that process. But then if you look through more of the term Waukegan and Passamaquoddy understandings of storytellings and the relationships between us and our land, it's sort of the same concept, but through a different worldview, through a different understanding of land and our relationship to it. So essentially, it's sort of using this tool, Wikigen, sort of a tool for sending messages to each other through images, whether it's writing or through photography. And through that, it's connecting these relationships in that process that has a very different understanding of the land. And we recognize that as it's from the land. These are stories from the land because we, as Wabanaki people, are our lands. Like, there's no separation between it. So that's sort of like, I think the word Wikigen really encapsulates those connections and those worlds that are being built through these relationships, through a sort of image-based storytelling, and having it really be both relatable and really, really powerful through that medium for others to hopefully come in and sort of grasp. But yeah, it's sort of just a term that I found, just recognize sort of the depth of knowledge in our ancestors and having this language and having these understandings of art, you know, because it was an art form. But yeah, it's such a, I hope that sort of frames that word in the context of sort of what, why that word sort of came to my mind for this project.
Thank you, Nolan. That was wonderful. I just want to take a moment to say that you are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am co-host Esther Ann, along with Maria Gerard. This is a special episode of Dawnland Signals, where we're holding space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we are with Beyond the Claims project staff and creators of an upcoming art exhibit, Kate Russell, Nolan Altvader, and Maya Aftian. And we were just talking about the name of the art exhibit is Wikigenal, and it's opening on June 20th at 2 p.m. at the Zivayig Museum. And I'm wondering if Maya, if you had anything to add about how you understand and have come to know this project, like how you understand Wikigenal and maybe your ties to Zivayig.
Yeah, so I see this project as a way of giving our perspective on a very sad part of our recent history, but also showing how that history connects to our culture and how it all connects to the land. As Nolan said, the Wikigenal, the colonial version of the Wikigenal, the Claim Settlement Acts are a form of a Wikigenal. And for me, I want to create these worlds within the landscape to act as a bridge, to show our own strength and vitality as a way of sort of reclaiming these acts that happened on our land and the history that's happened because of it. For me, photography is very much a tool of reclaiming. It is a colonial tool, so it's when we use it for our own Indigenous stories, we're reclaiming that way of creating. The history of photography involves so much possession and controlling and counting of marginalized people, Indigenous people, and mainly Black people, where it started from. So for me, it's a way of, you can include and exclude anything from a photograph. So it's been a huge tool for me to show my story. It's been a way for me to connect back to the land that I love so much. My mom is from Zivayig and my dad is Penobscot. So I have a big connection to that land, and being able to be in the landscape and hear the stories of the elders and connect them all together in a sort of timeless sense. I really want to show a non-colonial way of existing within the land, because we have connections past, present, and future to this land, and the land sees all of that.
That's wonderful. I like that idea of photography or reclamation of our stories in that way. And I was wondering, when we first started defining this project, this oral history art exhibit, and we knew that we wanted to help illustrate some of the stories that we heard as part of the Beyond the Claims story gathering process, I'm wondering if there was any place in your mind, sort of once you knew what the assignment was, we were going to illustrate these stories. Was there any one place that you said right off the bat, I need to go there and I need to get some images?
For me, it was Split Rock in Zibayig. It's a huge, I think, core memory of my childhood, and it comes up being it, like, not in all the stories, but in a lot of the stories, there's references to it and or just things that happen near it. So that was the first thing that I really wanted to photograph. I don't know about Nolan, though.
What about you, Nolan? Was there any place that immediately came to mind?
Yeah, I would certainly just second a Split Rock. And it's like, it's just such a ceremonial space for people in that area. But with that too, I think the big thing for me was the forests around reserves. Sort of growing up down at Zibayig and hanging a lot out with my cousins, we spent a lot of time in the forests and sort of like creating our own stories in there, but also like hearing stories from our guardians, sort of like to kind of scare us a little bit while we were out there. And sort of like that's something I really attached to from stories that people mentioned in the oral history exhibit. The interviews that were done was sort of, just really attached on to those feelings of those places, of those forests around the reservations, and kind of like the myriad amount of feelings that I experienced like in those forests when I was younger, of both like excitement and joy and like really having really fun with my cousins, but also being a little bit, a little scared as well. I think Split Rock and the forests around the areas were such a, something that stood out to me a lot.
Yes, Split Rock is part of anybody that grows up in Zibayig. At least for me and all of my friends, it was a big deal to jump across the split. And I remember being little and just being so afraid, thinking that I was going to fall. It was the biggest gap I had ever seen, and building up my courage and jumping over it. And now I go back and look at it, and it's like, 12 inches, maybe? And it could be shifting too, I don't know. But yeah, Split Rock is definitely a part of our identity in Zibayig, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like when I went out to photograph places that everybody has seen so many times, I really wanted to try to still have that familiar essence of viewing something that you've seen so many times, but in a new light that isn't as picturesque or seen in the traditional sense. I really wanted to play with scale and texture and really try to see if we could see these places in a different way. And I think that it really complemented how the way Nolan works with my photography style as being more abstract. Yeah.
Did you want to talk a little bit more about that, Maya? That was one thing that I was curious about, was how would you define your photography, and when did you first begin to get interested in photography?
Yeah, so I have been taking photographs for quite a long time now. I think I casually was taking photographs at like age 19. I'm 30 years old now, so it's been a little bit. I always have been fascinated in just like documenting everything around me and taking pictures of my friends, having these memories to look back on. And I've always been sort of interested in some sort of art. And so when it was about my mid-20s that I started to become more serious in photography, trying to explore more processes, create things more with more purpose, with more of a fine art perspective, I guess you would say, formally. But creating photos not just to document, but to create. So I think that my way of photography is, I really enjoy abstracting things from the landscape. For me, creating in the landscape isn't about just showing what you see as for face value. I really enjoy playing with the different textures and patterns and really complex beauty that exists within this landscape that's all connected through the integral networks of trees and fungi and flora. I really look at the land and I try to think about what's happened there, who has been there, and what it might look like in the future. And the way I work is very alternative in terms of actual technical processing for photography. Normally, I work in the darkroom. I use a lot of alternative processes for printing. And I really try to create photos that are less about very sharp and perfect images and more about pictorially what you feel from the image and what it represents to you.
That's excellent. I had a little sneak peek at some of the photographs for the exhibit, and they're like very wow worthy. And all I could think of, like, for a word to describe some of them was like, is it ethereal, like a really deep sense when you look at these images. So I think you capture it very well. What about you, Nolan? When did you begin to get interested, and how would you describe your style of photography?
Yeah, in terms of getting interested in photography, sort of coming from my grandmother, who really enjoyed photography and just sort of visiting her when I was little, and just seeing how it gave her sort of this way to relate to people and relate to the land through this like really cool way through capturing images. And then sort of like I took a really entry-level high school photography class, and I just got a camera in my hand, and I was just like, you know, outside shooting anything, or like inside, like photographing my cats or something, like just photographing anything and everything that I could. But then sort of over time, people within community, kind of just like how you know people, in community, and they're like, hey, you take photos, like, do you want to like do that, like, do you want to photo shoot this, or like I ended up getting into like filmmaking too, or like, do you want to record this? So that kind of developed my style of just responding to requests or asks in the community of sort of storytelling through a documentary based fashion, specifically around sort of how Wabanaki people relate to the land, and needing to sort of translate that into very like academic spaces in specific. So like did a lot of work around documenting sort of like a place-based field trip that conveyed Wabanaki relationships to our lands and how we find ourselves accountable in that relationship, and we translate that into our work and into our lives. And then that kind of, you know, as I developed that role, I just sort of, you know, started showing up at community events and socials and photographing that, and again sort of still establishing that that role in the community. And that sort of led to a lot of non-Wabanaki sort of led nonprofits asking me to do a lot of photo work for them for events within the community. And then throughout all that time, you know, I was thinking sort of critically about like the process of going there, of how like I'm using a camera to sort of convey these relationships that people have with each other and with the land, and how can I do that sort of through my own experiences and my own thinking and being as a Passamaquoddy person as well. So that's when I started to get more into narrative art and more going in a realm of mixing a documentary based photography with a little bit more of like kind of in similar way with my more abstract realm, but certainly consider myself as much more sort of a documentary photography or a storyteller, and using that specifically to convey these relationships that we have to the land as a tool for education, for healing, for challenging people's understanding of, you know, of what is this ground that we now call Maine, in which we stand upon now. So yeah, it's just sort of some how I got into photography and sort of where it led me to now today.
Wonderful, thank you. I can't help but think what a treasure trove all these photographs are going to be down the road for us. Maya talked about taking photographs of, you know, places that were familiar to us, but in seeing them in a unique lens, and just capturing that moment in time. And Nolan, I've certainly seen a lot of your photography of social events and community, and I can't help but think, you know, in 20, 30 years when these photographs, you know, resurface, like so often we see old photos, and it's such a treasure to see that moment in time, to really creating, you know, a wonderful gift to your community into the future. I just wanted to take a quick break to say that you are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Maria Gerard, along with co-host Esther Ann. This is a special episode of Dawnland Signals. Today we are talking about Wabanaki Reach's latest truth-telling initiative, Beyond the Claims, and staff and creators of an upcoming art exhibit. We're speaking with Kate Russell, project coordinator for Wabanaki Reach, Nolan Ultivator, photographer, and Maya Astian, both Passamaquoddy and Penobscot photographers for the project. And I wanted to shift the conversation just a little bit and invite you back in, Kate. So the opening for the oral history art exhibit, Wikiganol, is going to be Thursday, June 20th at 2:00. I'm wondering if maybe you can tell us what one can expect at the opening.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're still putting together all of those pieces, but hopefully one can expect lovely weather and, walking into this Vaag Museum and having an experience listening to stories, which are the heart of this project, and experiencing and witnessing and letting the photography of Maya and Nolan play on their hearts and minds and imaginations, and spend time with that, and hopefully connect with folks in that space. And then we'd love for folks to gather outside on the peninsula in a beautiful spot there at Zibaig at 2 p.m. And it's really an informal gathering, but we'd like to welcome folks. Maybe there will be an opening prayer. I'd love for folks to meet Maya and Nolan and introduce some of the folks who've been a part of the team in putting this project together. I really hope that there might be storytellers there who have been so generous in sitting with us and recording their personal oral history interview. And I'm really hoping that they might have the time and space to come out and celebrate this moment. They are at the heart of this project. And so, yeah, other than, having a conversation maybe similar to this while we're together and talking a little bit more about the project and Maya Nolan's work. And I think we're planning, I don't know if it's an ice cream social or what kind of snacks or food, but we'd love to have a meal or some treat together, and some singing and drumming and maybe a closing circle, and just a celebration of the life of the project and where we're at now, and gratitude for the people who've been a part of it. And that's at the Zibaig Museum. So that's 59 Passamaquoddy Road. That's in what we now call Perry, Maine, on the Pleasant Point Peninsula, Passamaquoddy territory. And the exhibit opens on June 20th, the summer solstice, on the cusp of the full moon. And we'll be having the opening reception or gathering that will begin at 2 p.m. or probably a little after, to give folks some time to walk through the space.
Indian time. And I won't jinx us, but hope we're praying for good weather. Our last project, I remember, got cut short because of a hurricane in September. But definitely, Sabaic is a beautiful place to be on a hot summer day.
I can't wait to see these pictures after hearing so much about them. I didn't get a sneak peek. So I can't wait to see them. Now, I'm wondering, we have a few minutes left, maybe 10 minutes or so, Maria, 10 or 12 minutes. And I wondered if it would be, I love hearing from Maya and Nolan about their journey, their artist journey. And I'm wondering if it would be a good time to hear from each of them to see what else they're doing. What other projects are they involved in, and what other collaborations are they working on as Wabanaki artists?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Yeah. Do you want to start,
Yeah.
Maya?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for asking. So right now I am currently almost halfway through the year of my studio artist BIPOC residency at Space Gallery in Portland, Maine. And through them, I've been working on a project called Resite, which is a cohort of artists that create art that has to do with the histories and reimagining stories of what happened in the land known as Portland. I chose to pick the First Parish Church in Portland that has ties to the Spencer Phipps Proclamation and bounty hunting slash killings of that time. And in addition to that, I also have a show. I'm involved in a show with the Bakery Photo Collective, and that's going on right now at the Portland Public Library. I am going to be involved at a summer think tank at the Lunder Institute this summer, which I'm pretty excited about. Then I have a show that's coming up in the fall at the PMA, and that's called, I believe the name of the show is called Where We Are, and it's a group of 14 different artists that have ties to this area. So yeah, that's, I think that's everything I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That's a lot. And I would be remiss if I didn't say in archive this, that I'm so proud of Maya. She's my second born, and I'm so proud of her.
Thank you.
I love it. Nolan, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy with coursework and starting my PhD program, but thankfully I have the flexibility to relate that to kind of image-based storytelling within Passamaquoddy communities. So in my position with working with our Tribal Historic Preservation Office and our Cultural Heritage Museum and the Doc Nagook, we have been documenting ancestral petroglyphs from our Passamaquoddy ancestors and using 3D imagery to both preserve them as they face damage from climate change and rising sea levels, but also through unwelcome visitation and vandalism. So sort of like caring about the preservation and connection to our ancestors through that work, but also looking at, you know, the role that these images played within Passamaquoddy communities and how they served as a sort of tool to mediate relationships with individual storytellers, but also with people through that process, and sort of like in a way, like giving meaning to the landscape through that process, through literal pecking on the landscape. So just sort of, yeah, very spending time thinking a lot about that, of sort of like the role of images and storytelling within Passamaquoddy culture and history, and applying that to contemporary storytelling in some independent projects I'm working on about the Skudik River and the history of the Skudik River, and put that in the context with the sea run fish restoration and the dam removal that's recently happened on that river, but at the same time that it's you know, it being the Skudik, our ancestral river, it's also currently the U.S. imperial line that divides our territory right in two and literally separates the Passamaquoddy people, to where like we're now referring to our own people as like, oh, you guys over there in what's now Canada. So yeah, doing sort of storytelling around the Skudik River, and then also sort of taking my time and some other connections with my family, doing a birch bark canoe building mentorship with my uncle. So looking really forward to that as well. But for just in terms of photography, yeah, just more doing relevant work to my program, and through that, like what we're doing at the Cultural Heritage Museum and Tribal Historic Preservation Office.
And Nolan, you were also involved in the Wabanaki Studies, right? They had a launch last week. I saw you on the panel discussion there, and I'm so incredibly proud of you as well. Nolan's my, what, triple cousin? We're related on all sides.
Only in Indian communities have I ever heard of double, triple cousins. I love it. I just wanted to say to both Maya and to Nolan that hearing of your work really gives me strong hope to see next generation in hearing about the incredible work that you're all doing. And yeah, so I always say to Esther, we can retire soon. We everything's in good hands now. And you both being so busy, we really appreciate your time and your energy and everything that you've contributed to this project. So we have about a little less than 10 minutes left. And so I just thought we could go around to see if there's anything more anyone would like to add, anything that we've missed.
I'm wondering if Kate would, I know we're talking just about Weekegonal here, but maybe give us a glimpse of the third iteration of the Beyond the Claim Stories from the Land and the Heart project.
Good thinking.
Yeah. Where do I start? You know, I just want to say that this whole project has been such a joy for me to, you know, coordinate is such a kind of mundane, trite word, but it has been an absolute joy to be working on Beyond the Claims. And it's been a really creative, and inspiring process. And, it's really a testament to the leaders of Reach who have allowed this project to just kind of reveal itself and to trust the process. And so I say that because this third piece is still emerging. And what I've come to realize recently, talking with Nolan in particular, that, you know, we're right where we need to be. Like these things emerge because of what came before. And so this third piece that's coming up, this third resource, it will emerge because of Weekegonal and because of the archive and because of the interviews that came before that and because of Maria's vision of why to do this project in the first place. But to have a more practical answer, we're hoping to print a publication that encompasses the stories, again, quotes, some historical context, photographs from Maya and Nolan, and really just kind of a poetic piece of storytelling that serves as a learning resource, you know, for students in schools of all ages, and then also people who have never heard of the land claims or folks who lived through it and want to share this with their grandchildren and everything in between. And, you know, I wonder, Nolan, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it is part of, you know, the work that you're talking about with your independent studies and your PhD. I wonder if you want to share just a little bit about what we were talking about the other day in terms of beyond a printed publication, what inspired by, you know, Weekegan, this kind of tool that can encompass all of the pieces we've been creating together and teasing out through these interviews that might serve as a resource for folks in a digital realm in particular. Do you want to talk about that? You don't have to, you can say no.
Yeah, sure. I think I can do it in a hopefully succinct and quick way. I just to put it, yeah, really kind of shortly is like it's sort of bringing back in the role of land and what land is as a relative for Wabanaki people. And it kind of, you know, kind of takes this really nice balance of more of like spiritual thinking, but not in a way that's like, you know, like the stereotypes that are perpetrated on Indigenous people as like believing in like myths or like, you know, fairy tales or whatever it may be, but it is bringing back in this sort of like spiritual way of telling these stories that is very tangible and palpable. And with that, I think, you know, viewing land as the energy or the essence that ties all of us together, even in these contradictions between like what the land claim settlement perpetrates on the land and then sort of how we view our relations to the land, and bringing like even those complications and conflicts with each other to tell a story. And I think that this third publication is really the tool for tying that all together, is to tying all these moving parts together from where the river widens and the oral history interviews that were done in this exhibit, and now taking all these threads and putting them together to tell a story sort of the stories, and how that can serve as a tool for education, for educating people about the Land Claim Settlement Act, for Wabanaki culture and history. So yeah, it's just sort of a tool to really tie all these components together and tell a story of the stories themselves.
It's like three strands and weaving them together, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to leave some space for Maya to also jump in. We have just about 3 minutes left to the show.
I guess I don't have much else to say that wasn't already said, to be honest, but I did want to say how grateful I am to be working on this project and how it's allowed me to get close to places and be around people that I haven't been able to in my daily life. Living in Portland as a Wabanaki person and as a white passing Wabanaki person, I often can get feel separated or disconnected and in between this colonized existence and decolonized way of thinking. And this project has been a really great way to help me ground myself in my community. So, Woolly One.
I'm so glad you've both been a part of it, and Kate for being the fearless leader and pulling together all the various pieces. I guess it's time for us to wrap up. This has been a special episode of Dawnland Signals, where we have been talking with Beyond the Claims, co-creators of an upcoming art exhibit that will take place Thursday, June 20th at 2 o'clock at the Sabaic Museum. That will be the exhibit opening. And I want to say thank you to the listeners for joining us for this special episode. Thank you to our volunteer technician, Jeffrey Hodgkiss, behind the scenes, for his assistance and support. And perhaps we'll be back in the future with another special. We shall see. Until then, please keep engaging in your own conversations of truth, healing, and change. Stay tuned for more great programming here on WERU-FN. Upjich, Minach Kanamiam.
Upjich.